Chapter 4 of Numbers, if you go there, and right away I'm going somewhere else, but let me read to you from 1 Corinthians 12 while you're turning there. It says this in verses 10 to 13, if I can find it here. I lost my place. Oh, I'm sorry, 12 and 13, I'm sorry, I went to the wrong place here. For as the body is one and has many members, and all the members of that one body being many are one body, so also is Christ. For by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body, whether we be Jews or Gentiles, whether we be bond or free, and have been made to drink into one Spirit. For the body is not one member, but many. So we're put together in this body of Christ, and we're going to see that this morning with, we're going to look at the priesthood a little bit and the Levites that are going to be there and the things that are going on there, but realizing that each part has a function, has a purpose, and whether you think you have many talents or few talents, the Lord can use each one of those talents for His glory, and He wants to use those. He wants to use us. He wants us to know His strength and His power, His might. He wants to know that we're not all the same, that we're different, but He can use us in those different ways for the ways that He has for us, and that it would encourage the body and edify the body. The things that these folks can do, others couldn't, because they had other talents, they had other gifts, they had other things to do that the Lord had ordained for them. And so that's why it's important to know the Lord and know what He has for you. And He spells it out here for the Levites and the priests. He spells it out for the people of God. Remember, we've already seen them encamped around the camp in the shape of a cross. And in the middle was the Lord and the temple and the tabernacle, and the Levites were there, and the priests, and they were had that function that was there in the center, and it was for a purpose. So it says in verse 1 that the Lord spake unto Moses and unto Aaron, saying, take the sum of the sons of Kohath from among the sons of Levi after their families, by the house of their fathers, from 30 years old and upward, even to 50 years old, and all that enter into the host to do the work in the tabernacle of the congregation. And this shall be the service of the sons of Kohath in the tabernacle of the congregation, about the most holy things. So we're in this place, we're seeing these things that the Lord has for these sons. We're going to see Kohath and Gershom and Merari, and these were all sons that were ministering in the temple as Levites, not as priests. Aaron and his son, and his direct sons were the priests, but the sons of them, the children, the grandchildren, were the Levites. The family was expanded, but they all had a function to do. They all had a purpose, and it was to be in this place. Remember, God is called Levi, that tribe of Levi, to do the service in the temple. We saw that last week, and we saw the things that were associated with that. But this is the place for the sons of Kohath from 30 years old and upward. And again, as we look, we always have to see that Jesus is on every page, that the picture of who He is there. And we're going to see a lot of the picture, the symbolism of who Jesus is in this today. It sounds like a boring chapter, but it's not. It's great. It's exciting. I was blessed just going through this week. But here they are, 30 years old and upward. And who was 30 years old when He started His ministry? Jesus. Gee, wonder if things are together. If the same person wrote this book that wrote all the books in the New Testament. It's the same God. It's the same Holy Spirit writing all these things to us, to encourage us, to strengthen us, that Jesus is involved, that the Holy Spirit's involved, that God the Father's involved. And He's working, and He's ministering to the people. It says that they're supposed to be in this place about the most holy things, the things that were in the tabernacle, that they're supposed to be there for it. They're supposed to be taking part in it. And it says in verse 5, when the camp sets forward, Aaron shall come and his sons, and they shall take down the covering veil and cover the ark of the testimony with it. And again, the veil speaks of what Jesus did with the veil. We see all of that. The ark of testimony speaks of Jesus' life. And it says in verse 6 that they're to put on the covering of the badger skin, just speaking of just the humanity, just the badger skin were not pretty. Badger skins are kind of ugly, but they covered everything. Everything was covered by them in the tabernacle, just so that the enemy wouldn't desire it so much. They'd see the blue and the gold and all the other things, and they'd be excited about it. But you look at badger skins, nobody gets excited about badger skins. You don't go on YouTube and look up for badger skins and see how much you can pay for it. You do with gold and silver and all the other things, but not badger skins. It just speaks that when they looked at Jesus, there was no comeliness, that they should desire him. Oh, just the plainness. But the picture that there's something precious inside. And the same with you and I. There's something precious within us. And it's not us. It's Jesus in us. Oh, they shall put the covering on there. You look under and see the beauty of God's creation, God's glory. You look inside our hearts and just see all that Jesus is doing within us, how we grow, how we mature, how we minister, all those things that the Lord has put into us now that we're born again. So he says in verse 6 again, you shall put on the coverings of badger skins and shall spread a cloth over it wholly of blue, and put in the staves thereof, those poles that would be there. The blue, of course, we've gone through that before, but it just speaks of heavenly colors, heavenly things. Blue speaks of those heavenly colors. When we look up in the heavens during the day, especially the last few days, we've had a great stretch of weather. And boy, the skies have been blue. And you just look up and you just get excited, because it's not like normal Rochester where it's gray and cloudy and dingy, and it's blue and it's great. And you just look at it and you just see those blue colors and you're reminded of heavenly things. And everything of creation is to remind us of who he is and what he has for us. But he says you cover those things with that blue cloth, and you put in the staves thereof, and upon the table of showbread in verse 7, this table of showbread where the 12 loaves of bread would be placed, where they go into the holy place and they would see those things, just speaking of the bread of heaven that Jesus talked about. He says, I am the bread of heaven, come down. And so you realize the importance of these things and how wonderful those things are. But they spread a cloth on it, a blue, speaking of the heavenly things that have come down to us. And put on the dishes thereof, the spoons, the bowls, the covers to cover with all, and the continual bread to be thereon. And they shall spread upon them a cloth of scarlet. As we look at Jesus, we realize that he didn't come just to live among us, but he came to die. So the scarlet just speaks of the blood that was poured out. And as we take communion, we remember these things. We remember his body broken. We remember his blood poured out. Just speaking of all the things that are in the tabernacle, remember these things are a pattern of things to come, just a picture of the things that were going to happen later, and all of these things bring to us a picture of what God has done from history starting till we are to where we are now, that God is working and he's still working. But these men get to go in and put these things on them, these coverings, and they're precious things. They're God's things. Remember, it's the holy place and the holy of holies, these things that they're all taking down. The tabernacle that was so beautiful and so long, 75 feet long, and in all of these things that are going on with the tabernacle, we've looked at the poles and the sockets and the fillets and all of those things that were involved in this, and how intricate it is. But how beautiful it is God puts it all together. Just speaking of the building that he has for us, we're all one body, and he's putting the body together. And we're built on the prophets, Jesus being the cornerstone. All this building is being built and taken care of. And the Lord calls these people to come and to take care of this. But notice it's the priests that are doing it. It's Aaron and his sons, not the grandsons. Aaron and the sons, and there's a reason for it. We'll see as we go on, but keep that in mind as you go here. And so we see then in verse 9, it says, then they'll take a cloth of blue and cover the candlestick of the light. Remember, Jesus is the light of the world, and his lamps and his tongs and snuff dishes and all the oil vessels thereof wherewith they minister unto it. And they shall put it in all the vessels thereof within a covering of badger skins and put it upon a bar. So they're going to cover it in these blue heavenly colors, in these scarlet colors, scarlet cloths, and put all those things in there and then cover it with badger skins. And then they're going to pick it up and carry it. Not the priests, but the grandsons and their families. Those are the ones that are going to be taking care of it, and we'll see why in just a second. Sorry to keep you waiting. We'll get there. And upon the golden altar, they shall spread a cloth of blue and cover it with a covering of badger skins, and they'll put in the staves thereof. And they shall take all the instruments of the ministry where they minister in the sanctuary and put them in a cloth of blue. Everything covered in blue and scarlet. Only one covered in scarlet, as we see, the rest covered in blue, speaking of those heavenly things that we're to be thinking of. So even the colors that are there should cause us to think of heavenly things. Not just of the things of a tabernacle, but heavenly things that are put in this place just to picture a pattern of things to remind us of all that God is involved in and all that God wants to do. And you put them on a bar, so they're going to carry them. Remember David? He was going to bring the tabernacle back and put it in Jerusalem. And he put it first on a cart drawn with oxen. It was the wrong thing. Because here it tells us that the people, the Levites, those that were called to serve, were supposed to carry the things of the Lord. Just speaking that we're to be carrying these things about in us. We're carrying these remembrances. We're carrying these things in us to remind us of who he is and what he's done, and to remind the world of who he is. Because you're a witness in the world. Whether you want to be a witness or not, you don't have to speak. People are looking at your lives, and they want to see what you're made of. And we're made of the Lord. And he's in us and should be working through us. And we should be those witnesses in the world that we're different, that there's something different about us. Just as these men would carry these things, we don't want to put God's things on something else. We don't want to put them on our car and carry it through and make them think that our car is something. Our car is nothing. It's what's involved in what we're carrying that's important. And what we're carrying is the body of Christ dying daily. Scripture tells us in the New Testament that we see these things and we pronounce those things to the world. Oh, we carry about in our bodies the dying of our Lord Jesus. And then it says in verse 13, and they shall take away the ashes from the altar and spread a purple cloth thereon. First time that's used, the purple cloth. Remember when Jesus was being crucified, that the soldiers took him? And because he said he was a king, they put a purple cloth on him. It just speaks of kingship. The purple cloth, purple of royalty, of kingly things. And they put a purple cloth on it. Why would they put a purple cloth on that? Because the king was there. They're going to take away the ashes, just speaking about his dying and his resurrection. And they're going to put a purple cloth there, and he's the king, he's the priest, he's God come in the flesh. Just speaking of the suffering of Christ with the glory that was going to follow. And they put it all on the vessels thereof in verse 14 when they minister about it, even the censers, the flesh hooks, the shovels, all those things that were involved in the tabernacle itself, all those different gifts of using those things, all those different utensils that were there, just speaking of the different ways that God uses us in the world. Sometimes we're here to shovel. Sometimes we're here to spread things. Sometimes we're here to carry things. All of those different functions that we have as people of the Lord, he wants to bless and he wants to use. Just a picture of the church of Christ and what is going on with it. And it says that they're going to cover all those things, all the vessels of the altar. They're going to spread upon it a covering of badger skins, and they're going to put staves therein. Again, they're going to carry it. Nothing transported by a cart, nothing transported by oxen, all transported by men of God carrying the things of God. And that should be a great application for us, that only the men of God can carry the things of God. Oh, and it should be important to us. It should show us the importance of it, that we need to be people of God to carry the things of God. We're carrying about in us the things of the Lord, and we should be careful to represent them. It's amazing to me as I was going through it this week. Sometimes, you know, when you go on vacation beforehand, you're packing for weeks ahead because you can't wait for vacation and you only get a couple weeks a year. So you make the most of it, right? In weeks before you're going, you start packing things and you're careful how you pack them. You're putting them in carefully and you're putting them in order so that everything fits in the suitcase so you don't have to have four people sit on the top of it so you can zipper it up. You know, you do those things. And when it's all done, when the vacation's all over, what do you do on the way back? You just throw everything everywhere because you're making the most out of your vacation. You don't think of packing weeks ahead to leave. You're unpacking all the stuff you packed. So when you leave, you just throw everything together and nothing fits, nothing's there. But look at how carefully each one of these things is taken care of. And for me this week, it was just a picture for me of how carefully am I handling the Word of God? How carefully am I handling the gifts that He's given me? How carefully do I look at these things and see how precious, how wonderful they are, what a gift they are to me? Is it really that important to me, or am I just throwing everything together like at the end of a vacation and not caring where it goes and how it looks? Because there's dirty clothes, there's dirty everything. Everything is pure and spotless here. And they're wrapping it carefully. And they're wrapping it carefully because that's how much they love it. That's how much it's important to them. And that's how much they care about what God thinks about what they're doing. Oh, do we care about how God thinks about what we're doing? Or do we just throw things together? It's just like us coming here and me looking at you and saying, God bless you and have a great week without praying for you, without thinking of who you are and what you're going through. It's like me just throwing stuff in the car and not caring if it's in a suitcase or if it's in a cloth or if it's in a bag, not caring who's stepping on it, because you're precious in God's sight. And it shows in our lives how precious you are is how we think about you and how we care about you and how we pray for you and how you pray for each other. Oof, your spouses, your kids, your parents, your grandparents, all those things as you look back on your life, did I really care about them? Or did I just treat them like something I threw in the car and then had everybody step on them because they're in the back seat and we needed the kids in the back seat, so we just let them step all over them? Oof. You know, the Twinkies in the car and the wrappers going everywhere and the crumbs falling all over the place, and it didn't really matter because who cares? There's sand in the car anyway. And all those things. Do we really care about it? And to me, it just shows God really cares about what we do with the things that He's given us, the things that He's shown us. Lord, how am I taking those things? Mm. Oh, boy. You can tell my heart broke a lot this week because my car was full of junk. Lord, help me to clean it up and to make it be that precious to me that I just don't read your word just so that I can mark off on my calendar that I read two chapters today. Help me to read your word because it's that precious to me that I want to have it and to be in that place. Verse 15 says, and when Aaron and his sons have made an end of covering the sanctuary and all the vessels of the sanctuary, as the camp is set forward or ready to go, after that the sons of Kohath shall come and bear it, but they shall not touch any holy thing. They're just going to touch the poles and carry the stuff. They aren't even going to see what's inside. They aren't to look at what's inside. And that just speaks of the things of the Old Testament where the veil was there and nobody could enter in. But now because of what Jesus has done, the veil is torn in two and we can enter in boldly to the throne if you're born again. But that means we're trusting in the work of Christ and what He's done. And that makes us a kingdom of kings and priests. And so we can enter in as that kingdom of kings and priests. We can't enter in if we don't know the Lord. We can't enter into that place. We won't even come to that place if we're not born again. But we enter in now as a priesthood, just like we see Aaron and his sons entering in and covering all these things and using all these things and seeing how precious they are. And yet the grandsons couldn't see it. But now, because of Jesus tearing the veil, we can enter in and we can see what's there. And we can see how precious it is and how wonderful it is to have a life of Christ and to walk in the life of Christ. It should bring joy to our lives that we have this place where we can be those people that can do that. Not because of what we've done, not because we come to Calvary Chapel, but because we're born again of God's Spirit. That's the only way we can do this, that we're in this tribe of who He is. They aren't to touch any holy thing, lest they die. If they touched it, they would die. And that's what happens to the world. If they try and touch the things of the Lord without being born again, they're going to die in their sin. But for you and I that are saved, that are born again of God's Spirit, we get to touch those things. And what does it tell us in 1 John? As John would speak of the things of the Lord, he said, we've handled the word of life. As a priesthood, we get to handle the word of life. That's how precious John thought it was. How precious do we think it is? Oh, Lord, is it that precious to me? Are the things that I see in your temple that precious to me? Do I take care of my temple, the temple that the Holy Spirit dwells in, the way that I should be? Or am I just throwing it about like I do with my car after vacation, just throwing things in and who cares what it looks like? God cares. God cares, and He wants us to take care of these things. So much for my eating a bag of chips a day just because that's my favorite food group. Not taking care of my temple real well, but hey, oh boy. These things are the burden of the sons of Kohath in the tabernacle of the congregation at the end of verse 15 there. And then it says to the office in verse 16 of Eleazar, another son of Aaron, to the office of Eleazar, the son of Aaron, the priest, pertaining to the oil for light. Remember, he had four sons, and the first two were struck down by the Lord because they promoted strange fire before the Lord, and the Lord struck him dead. So these other two sons are there, and they're working, and their office was to do these things and to put them together with Aaron and Moses. And it says, the office of Eleazar, the son of Aaron, the priest, pertaineth to the oil for light. Just seeing the light that was there for us, the light that leads us by day, the light that takes care of us by night, Jesus being the light of the world, the sweet incense and the daily meat offering, and the anointing oil, and the oversight of all the tabernacle, and all of it that is therein, in the sanctuary, and in the vessels thereof. And the Lord spoke unto Moses and Aaron, saying, cut ye not off the tribe of the family of the Kohathites from among the Levites. Don't cut them off, but do this unto them, that they may live and not die when they approach unto the most holy things. And Aaron and his sons shall go in and appoint them, every one to his service and to his burden. They were to lead them in the way that they were to go. And we as a priesthood are to lead our families, to lead those around us in the way that we are to go. But we can't know the way to go unless we know the one who leads the way. You can't lead anybody unless you know the one who's leading you. And so we need to be careful with that. We need to enter into that place where we know our Jesus well so that we can lead others and minister to them. And this is just grace. God cares so much about these people that He says, you take them in and you show them what they're supposed to touch and what they're not supposed to touch. You show them how to do it. You be teachers of the things that I've taught you. Oh, you mean we're supposed to be teachers too? Mm-hmm. Every one of us is to be a teacher to those around us. Oh, not teachers like you had in Catholic school with rulers in their hands just waiting for you to do something wrong so they could smack your knuckles. Teachers that would teach well and encourage and edify and exhort. And that's what we're supposed to do. Oh. And He's telling the sons to do that, to make sure you show them so that they don't die. That's the importance of our teaching, is so that they don't die. They don't die in their sin. They don't die without Christ. And you know what? Every few seconds, somebody in this world dies. And so many of them have not been taught about who Jesus is. They haven't heard. Maybe they haven't listened and paid attention. But oh, how sad it is for us when somebody dies without Christ. When He's made a provision for them, He's made a way for them, but they don't know that way. And Jesus is the only way. But verse 20 says, but they shall not go in to see when the holy things are covered, lest they die. They're not of the priesthood. They aren't supposed to go in, because if they do, they're going to die. And isn't it important for us to tell people, if you don't enter in, you're going to die. If you try and get in on your own way, if you try and get in on your own behalf, if you try and get in your own good works, you aren't going to make it. Because it's Jesus and Jesus only. You can't add anything to it. It's not how many times you go to church. It's not if you come to church here, if you go to church at home or whatever. It's only Jesus. That's the only way. Jesus said, no man comes to the Father but by me. And no other way. The way is narrow. Whoa. And few there be that enter in. Aren't you glad Jesus called you one of the few? Wow. And why us? We're a bunch of nobodies, and yet he's called us to enter in. The King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. He's called us to enter in. If you guys aren't smiling over this, something's really wrong with you. Either you're thinking about the Bills maybe losing next week or something. I don't know, but boy, we should be smiling all the way in, because we've been called by name. Not just called on a general call. We've been called by name. You got that invitation in the mail that said, hey, you've just won $1 trillion. All you have to do is call this number. You know what? This is worth more than $1 trillion. And it's more real than that invitation. His invitation is real because he knows you by name. He just doesn't have your address, and he's stolen your Social Security number, and he's stolen your phone number. He knows you by name, and he knows everything about you because he made you. And he loves you. Oh, that is sweet. How precious are you handling the things that he has? Do you see the heavenly colors in everything you touch? Do you see the blood that was shed in everything that you do? Do you see the royalty of who he is and how you act before him? Because all these pictures are here in this chapter, and they show us the importance of it. Oh, Lord, make us more in tune to your word and what it is and what you have for us, because it's that important. Not that you're not saved, but you're missing out on a whole lot of stuff today if you're not handling the things of God the way he says to. You're not knowing the joy, the peace, the freedom from sin that you could have if you're not handling those things the way that he's called us to. So in verse 21, he says, and the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, take the sum of the sons of Gershom, the other son here, throughout the houses of their fathers by their families from 30 years old until 50. So this time frame that's in there, again, for this other son that they enter in to perform the service, they were there to serve. They were there to serve. And sometimes we've got people on platforms, we've got people that are promoting themselves as pastors and teachers that have no idea what serving is. They just want to be known. Folks, we're here to serve. We're here to serve each other. We're here to serve the Lord, most importantly. We serve him first, and by serving him, we serve each other. Do you know how to serve? Oh, and that service should be shown in our lives by all that we do. Well, when do I get to rest? Come on, I've served my kids. I've had 100 kids, and they're finally out of the house, and they're all away. You know, when do I get to stop serving? Well, now the grandkids are there. Well, now the great-grandkids are there. When do I get to stop serving? When you get home to heaven. And then we'll be before the throne. And who's going to serve us in heaven? Jesus, it says. He's going to serve us at the marriage supper of the Lamb. Can you imagine? He's the one that died for us, and he's serving us. Why are we complaining about having to serve? Oh, Lord, forgive me. Help my heart. You can tell I repented a lot this week. I'm still repenting. So take also the sum of the sons of Gershom from 30 years old to 50 years old, and they're there to serve in the tabernacle. This is the service of the families of the Gershonites to serve and for burdens. In one commentator says this, as men of war, we fight, as priests, we worship, and as Levites, we serve. And we're in all of those categories. We're here to worship. We're here to serve. We're here to fight. To fight for our families. To fight for those around us. To fight for the souls of men. We're here for that. And you fight for the souls of men that are around you by praying for them. By interceding. By witnessing. This battle is intense. It's hard. It's harsh. but it's worthwhile. Oh, this is the service, to serve and for those burdens that they have. And they shall bear the curtains of the tabernacle and the tabernacle of the congregation. So they're going to do all of those things and take care of all the hangings and the courts, verse 26. In verse 27, he says that the appointment, bless you, of Aaron and his sons shall be the service of the sons of the Gershonites and all their burdens and all their service. And you shall appoint them in charge of all their burdens. So again, they're there to teach them what to do and how to do it. A lot of teaching going on. You know what? We're going to be students till the day we go home. We need to be learning. If you think you've got the Bible down and you've got it all together, you're not a good student. You probably already failed. We're here to be taught every day of our lives. Don't think that you've got so much that you can't be taught. Because if you can't be taught, you're probably not saved. Oh. So this is the service of the Gershonites in verse 28. Verse 29, just for time's sake, again, here we come and it says, the sons of Merari, you shall number them after their families. This is another son, those three sons, and they were spoken of in Genesis 46:11. If you're taking notes and you want to see that, they were the sons. And you shall number them after their families by the house of their fathers from 30 years old and upward. This was the biggest group of people of all the tribes, the sons of Gershon, the sons of Kohath, the sons of Merari. And this is the biggest tribe, and there's a reason behind it. Look at what they get to do. It may not be a blessing, but this is what they get to do. And this is the charge of the burden according to all the service of the tabernacle, to take the bars thereof, the pillars thereof, the sockets thereof, and all the pillars of the courts, roundabouts, and their sockets, their pins, the cords, and all their instruments, with all their service, and by name shall you reckon the instruments of their charge of their burden. So you're going to teach them all of these things. And it tells us this in 2 Corinthians 4:10, if I can ever get there. It tells us this, that always bearing about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our body. So the picture that we see, the picture they're carrying about is the picture that we're carrying about. They're carrying about the things of the Lord. We're carrying about the things of the Lord as we go through this life. So this is their service. This is what they get to do. They get to take all this stuff, and we think, well, that's nothing. The other guys get the table of showbread. They get the curtains. They get the altar. They get those things. What's so big about this, and why do they have to be the biggest family? Because these things, one of the commentators, I don't know how they figure it out, and it really doesn't matter, but the things that they carried, because they carried all of the tabernacle, all of the bars, all of the sockets, all of the pins, all of those things, they say that the weight of all of those put together is over 10 ton. That's why it has to be a big family to carry all this stuff, because not one person is going to carry 10 tons of stuff and carry it through the wilderness and then set it up. Oh, but they couldn't even tear it down. Only Moses and his sons and Aaron and his sons could tear it down and put it up, because the others couldn't handle those things because they weren't in the priesthood yet. They were servants, they were Levites, but they weren't priests. And again, the picture for us is we're the kingdom of kings and priests. We get to do that. We get to see how it all fits together. We get to see what goes where and why it goes where. And if you're a builder at all, you know that you don't put on a roof until the struts go up. Roofs don't stay up there all by themselves while they wait for something else to get under them. You have to put something under them before you can put it on. And for these folks, they had to know how it went together and how to tear it apart and where to put each piece. Did you ever get one of those put things together in the boxes and you take it out and you always end up with four extra screws and a couple of nuts and you go, must be they put too many in there, and you just throw them away. And then you set that coffee table up, and you put something on it, and it instantly falls over because those four screws were important. And now you can't find those four screws, so now you got to go out and buy another one and see if you can put it together rightly. Everything is important. Every little screw is important. Every little work of Jesus is important in your life. Every little trial that you're going through is important in your life because it's a building block for Jesus to show you who he is in your life. If you're infirmed right now, Jesus is working on you. Pay attention. Don't just blow it off and say, well, I'll get healed later. I'll get some PT and I'll be okay. You pay attention to what Jesus is doing. He's doing something. My knees are not the best in the world. In the other day was one of those days where there's stuff that floats around in my knees that every once in a while catches me and it pushes me against a wall, or I find the floor really quickly and, oh, look at this thing has been here since 1906. I remember this piece of puzzle that's under the couch. We put that together two Christmases ago. I knew there was another piece somewhere. We see those things happening because God is working and he's trying to show us that we need him so much. We're fearfully and wonderfully made, but we're made for him and we're made because of him and we're made to be in service to him. And if we're not doing any of those areas, then we're soon going to find out that we're in a place that we don't want to be. And Lord, why did you put me here? And he says, I'm trying to teach you. I'm trying to show you my glory. I'm trying to show you who I am. And I need you to pay attention, because every day God is working in your life. And if you don't think so, you're missing out on the very best of life, because Jesus is with you every day. He hasn't left you or forsaken you. And if he's working on you and he's tearing something down or putting something together, he needs you to pay attention so you know how to put it together and how to tear it apart and how to see his glory in the midst of it, because the blue is there, the scarlet is there, or the purple is there. Are you paying attention to each color in each way that Jesus is working in your life? Does he want to be the king of your life today and you're not letting him? Is he telling you today you don't need to go home and watch 10 hours of football? That maybe you could spend 5 minutes and read a chapter of scripture? No, I don't think the Lord would tell me that. I think he'd tell me to watch the football game. No. He's bigger than football. I hate to tell you. Go, really? What a disappointment. Lord, I'm going to miss all the ads. All that stuff is going on. He wants to show you a part of his life, whether he wants to be king over something that you haven't let him be, or he wants to show you heaven's colors and you don't want to see him today, or whether he wants to show you that he died for you and that you really need to see that up front and close and personal. Because you need to know the sureness of your salvation and the sureness of heaven coming. And if you miss that, all of a sudden the trumpet's going to sound and you go, wait a second, I don't think I'm ready. I haven't got everything packed. Oh, you may still go to heaven, but you're going to be missing some stuff. Oh, Lord, help me. And you get before him and you go, God, I didn't know you were like this. He goes, well, I showed you 47 times in your life and you never paid attention once. I had 30 trials in your life just speaking about this one condition in your life, and you never saw me once. I put you down on your chair and wouldn't let you get up because you couldn't walk for a reason, so that you could look at me and see me. And instead, you paid more attention to Amazon Prime than you did to me. Oh, Lord, help. You can tell I had a rough week with this. This is so anyway, here we are. So this is the service of the sons of Merari, according to the service, verse 33. In the tabernacle of the congregation under the hand of Ithamar, the son of Aaron the priest, and Moses and Aaron and the chief of the congregation numbered the sons of the Kohathites after their families and after their house, and again from 30 years and upward. 30 years. Don't call anybody into service too early, too quick, because they need to learn. And each time the fathers were teaching their sons, and you know what it is to be a son, and your father sits you there and says, I want to tell you something about this tractor. I want to show you how it runs. He goes, I already know. I'm 18, Dad. I know how to drive a tractor. I know how to get on that thing. I know how to turn the key, or I know how to crank it if you're old enough. And you had those crank tractors, you get in the front and spin that stupid thing till it started. I know all about this, Dad. I can do it. Oh. And you say, I can do this. You need to listen and to learn, because your dad in heaven is talking to you and he wants to speak to you. I had a brother who didn't listen to his father, and he got killed when he was 13 because he didn't pay attention to what Dad said. And I saw my dad carry him in front of me into the house and lay him down because he didn't pay attention. You know what? It took me 20 more years before I started paying attention. We need to pay attention to our Father in heaven, because we don't want somebody to get killed because they're not paying attention. We want them to learn, and we need to learn, because we can't teach anybody if we don't learn. Father, help us to learn, huh? We've got a lot to learn. If you know everything, then please tell me what heaven's like. Tell me what I'm going to see when I get there. If you know everything, tell me how forgiveness of sins work. How does God forget my sin? If you know everything, tell me how the Trinity is one person but three parts. How did Jesus separate himself from his Father and come to earth, and the Holy Spirit come upon him? Tell me how that works, if you know everything. Tell me how these bodies work. You know how many parts of our body are there? And he put them all together. And he says, work. Really? How do you do that? The scientists still can't figure it out. And if you know everything, tell me where everything came from. What was in the beginning? That's why we need our Bibles. Keep digging in. We keep learning. We keep growing. 30 years old until 50. They knew when they had to retire. Somebody said, so do you. But hey, when we get there. And all those that were numbered by the families, and they give the numbers of all those things. And they go through in verse 40, again, just for time's sake. It says, according to the commandment of the Lord, they were numbered by the hand of Moses, everyone according to his service, according to the place of his service and the amount of his service, the way he serviced those things, according to the burden, they were numbered of him as the Lord commanded Moses. Moses did everything that the Lord showed him to do and how he commanded him. And that should be for us too. Lord, show me those things that you're commanding me. Show me those things that you're talking to me about, and show me how to serve rightly, how to serve well, how to serve in that way that will glorify you. And we need to learn. We need to grow. Keep in your Bibles. Don't let them go. And keep being that light in this world. Great chapter. Great stuff. But to me, I think it was, we started 1 Peter on our home study, and it really ties in well with what we're seeing here. Because five times in 1 Peter and two times in 2 Peter, it calls the things of the Lord precious. And these things that we saw today are precious to the Lord. The way that they taught their sons, the way that they taught their grandsons, the way that they were taught, and the way that they had to teach were precious in the sight of the Lord. And these things should be precious to us too. You're precious. Precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his saints. And they're soon to be with him. One day, soon, we're going home to heaven, and he's going to look at us and call us precious. It's amazing. I had one guy at one of our other churches, and I was an assistant pastor there, and he was on the board of elders, and he's this big guy. He's a black brother, and I loved him to pieces. And he looked at me one day, and I went up to him, and I just went up and kissed him on the cheek. And he just looked at me with those eyes. What are you doing? You don't kiss me. Oh, yes, I do. And I called him Precious from that day forward. And that's still his nickname, is Precious. I may bring him out here someday just so you can see Precious. But his life is precious. And he's precious to the Lord. And because he's precious to the Lord, he's precious to me. And you guys are precious to the Lord, and we should be precious to each other. How do you handle each other's life? Do you yell at them like I did to Kathy the other day when I got short with her? Just, it wasn't real precious. Of course, I had to be in a chapter talking about things that are precious and good. It's just like, oh Lord, come on. You don't have to give me an example. Are you handling each other as precious? Are you handling the life that Jesus has given you as precious? Do you cover it with heavenly colors? Do you cover it in the blood of Jesus? Do you cover it with him as being king over your life? Or isn't it that precious? Father, as we prepare our hearts to take communion, please show us, Lord, those things that are precious to you that we need to take care of. And how do we handle those things, Lord? Do we pack them well, or do we just throw things around? Do we take care of them the way that you've asked us to? Or do we just throw them together and say, I'll find the parts later on? Lord, may we take each and every part and view it as precious in your sight and hold on to it as precious and put us, cover those things well, Lord, and bear them well about as we carry them through this life. Father, have your way with us. Speak to our hearts as we sit before you as the piano plays and just minister to us those things that you've shown us today, Lord, and that we would realize how precious the gift of life is that you've given us. And Lord, may we use it well for your glory. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Father, we just come thanking you so much for the instructions that you give us, the way that you speak to our hearts, Lord, the gentleness of how you talk to us, the ways of grace that you give us, Lord. We're just so thankful for all of these things, and we remember how much it cost you, Lord, to show us these things. The death of your Son was precious in your sight. Father, may we view these things as precious. We hold in our hands these tokens, but Lord, they should remind us of the costliness of the price that was paid because of what we've done with what you've given us, Lord. We've abused it. We've thrown it away. We've cast it aside. Lord, forgive us for those things. And may we take these, remembering all that you've done for us and the way that you've done those things, and view them as precious, Lord. Not to just sit here and say, well, I've taken communion for the fourth time this month. I'm real excited. Lord, may we do it because it means something to us, that it means everything to us, because it cost you your life to do that for us, Lord. So help us to take these with grateful, thankful, joyful hearts, realizing all that you've done, and taking them because you've told us to, but taking them because we honor you in it, Lord. We see your kingship in it. We see the blood poured out for us, Lord. We see the heavenly blue, Lord, of your holiness coming down from heaven to meet us here and to speak to us and to grab a hold of us. Lord, may we do it honoring you as we take these, and we do it in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's partake.